Well, greetings to you in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark, and this is day three in a little series we're doing on wisdom. How does wisdom cry in the streets? We looked at that the last couple days, how it cries, what it says. We're going to continue on that here today. So how does wisdom cry in the streets? Well, yesterday I gave three examples, and they were all on the negative side. People fighting in the marketplace, a judge at the gates of the city, and a cross by the side of the road where someone has died in a car accident or a motorcycle accident. Wisdom cries out in those situations. She has a message to tell us, to tell those who are passing by. Maybe the judgment was for someone to be stoned to death because of their sin, because of their transgression against another person or something like that. And we can hear a loud, clear message, don't go that way, don't do those kind of things. And even in an accident on the side of the road, we can see that cross and that wisdom is crying on the street saying, you should slow down when you're driving. You shouldn't drive so fast in those rainy, snowy, slippery, icy conditions. You should not be texting while you're driving. You should be careful and watchful and alert when you're driving and so on. Those are the messages that wisdom is saying by us, that when we can see that cross on the side of the road. But wisdom also cries in positive ways. A family with their well-behaved children, where the dad and the mom love each other, and it's obvious that they love each other, even out in public, and they're holding hands, and you can just tell by the way they talk to each other that they're in love with each other, and they care about each other, and they care about their children and love their children. And maybe it's very obvious that those parents are Christians. Wisdom says to those people that meet that family, Jesus Christ has done a great work in their lives, and he can do a great work in your life also. Wisdom cries there. There's a better way, the Christian way, the way of Christianity. I would be able to give many other examples in that way, positive ways that wisdom cries in the streets as we're maybe passing out tracts or witnessing to people or finding somebody in an airport or in a bus station or on a bus or whatever, and we're talking to that person and we're able to share good things with them, positive things. That's wisdom crying in the streets. Well, wisdom cries in the streets and she says, there's a better way, a safer way, a blessed way, a way of sins forgiven, a way of peace in our hearts, a way of love and forgiveness, a way of abundant life, and a way of eternal life. Have you ever heard the statement, experience is the best teacher? Well, yes, if you are learning a trade or doing some work or learning how to type on a keyboard. The more you do some things, the better you get. But when it comes to sinful things, worldly things, dangerous things, unwise things, it is much better to learn from other people's mistakes. Or another way of saying it is to learn from wisdom. What does she say? What is her message? What is she preaching? Wisdom is saying, listen to me. We can see that in, I'm kind of paraphrasing a couple places in Proverbs here, but we can see that in chapter 1:22. Listen to me. Turn you at my reproof. 1:23. She speaks of excellent things. Chapter 8, verse 6. Everything she says is truth. Chapter 8, verse 7. There's no pretense, no false ideas, no perverse thoughts. Chapter 8, verse 8. All the things wisdom teaches are in righteousness, chapter 8, verse 8. The message is plain. It's not over anyone's capability of understanding. And if we follow wisdom's message, we will see that it is right. Chapter 8, verse 9. The benefits of wisdom are more valuable than silver, gold, rubies, or the U.S. dollar. So seek after wisdom more than all the money in the world, for there is no comparison. Chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. Well, the purpose wisdom is crying in the streets is for our good. It is for our benefit. It is for our well-being, both physically and spiritually. She has our very best in mind. She doesn't want us to suffer or experience bad things. She doesn't want us to get hurt. When our children were young and growing up, we were living in Idaho, and we were heating our house with a wood stove. And our little ones would get close to the stove, and we would say, don't get close to the stove. It's hot. It'll burn you. And, you know, we told them that several times, but sometimes they would get close and we wouldn't say anything, and maybe they would reach out their hand, or they would just get too close walking by and their bare arm would touch the stove, or their finger would touch the stove, and you know, we all know what happens there. And there's this burn, and there's this experience that this child has at that moment. And what is that? Well, that's learning by their own pain and their own experience. They should have listened to wisdom. That was father and mother telling them not to get close. That was what wisdom was saying. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 1, it talks about that. He says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So, and there's many such verses in Proverbs about listening to our father's and mother's instructions. But that's wisdom crying in the streets. That's wisdom crying out to those children not to get too close to that stove, because you can get burned. Well, another example I have was, I've been a meat cutter for many years, and one time I was training a young guy how to cut meat, and he was forever putting his hands in my cutting space, and I would tell him to get your hands off the table right there. I don't know what possessed him to do that. It just seemed like he always just, when I was showing him something, he would just lean on the table with his hands right down there in a dangerous place. You'd think you would know better. And that's the way it is with wisdom. You'd think people would know better, that what they're doing is not safe. It's not good. But finally, it came to the time I just stopped telling him to get his hands off my table. And one time I did slip and cut him a little bit. And, we can learn from wisdom, or we can learn from our own bad experiences, and sometimes they can be fatal. And, you know, wisdom also gets tired of talking and not being heard. Yesterday, I was fixing a chair, and I needed a new dowel for a leg support, and I had that dowel, and I was carving the ends of it off to fit into the holes on the brace, on the legs of the chair. I was carving a little bit of the wood away so it would fit into the holes. And my son-in-law, he's an excellent blacksmith, and he made me, for my birthday this year, he made me a couple carving knives that I can carve with. And so I was using one of those knives, very sharp, just like a razor blade, and I was using one of those knives to carve away at it. Well, I needed to do a back cut to get the back side of that dowel, or the little end that I was using, not just the end, but inside, I needed to cut that. And so I scored it around and made a line there so that when I was coming back in, my knife would stop there and not cut my hand, because I was holding the dowel with my hand and not cut my hand. I know better than to being a meat cutter and also carving wood some. I know better to not cut towards myself. I've heard that all my life, and And so here I was doing that, and it was actually my son-in-law's birthday yesterday, and I was thinking, you know, and I've been trying to call him and to wish him a happy birthday, and I was thinking, well, when he calls me, I would tell him I was using his knife, and that anyway, so, or the knife that he made me. And so anyway, here I was cutting away, thinking those things there, and I got to that when I was cutting. My hand was back actually quite a ways on the dowel. It was back almost to the end. It was probably 6, 7, 8 inches back behind my hand that I was holding the dowel. But the knife came back and it hit that stop that I'd made, and it just popped through it and chipped off a piece and came and caught my thumb, right on the end of my thumb. And I thought, well, wisdom was telling me it was telling me to be safe and not to do that. I had a vice I could have put that wood in and had my hands free from it, and many different things. That was wisdom crying, but I didn't listen, and so I got hurt because of it. Well, that's wisdom's purpose. It's for our good. It's for our benefit. It's for our well-being, our physical and spiritual well-being. So thank you for calling in. Tomorrow we're going to look at and consider the downside of not listening to wisdom, which I guess I said a little bit of that with my thumb experience, but the downside of not listening to wisdom. And we're going to also look at the upside, the positive side, the benefits of listening to wisdom. We're going to see some things in the scripture. So God bless you. Thanks for calling in, and Lord willing, we'll meet tomorrow.